Okay, so we're in lesson 8. This is page 109. And the second paragraph, second passage. Okay, so we start with Tena Kopana Samayena. Okay, this is a very common expression. It usually follows an introductory sentence which goes Ekang Samayang. Ekang Samayang is an accusative case used to denote a particular period of time. So in English we would translate it on one occasion or at one time. So we translate it with a locative word, on or at. So we have Ekang Samayang Bhagava Savatiyang Viharati. At one time, the Blessed One, the Buddha, was living in the city of Savati. Then often, when the narrative description is continuing, okay, at one time, such and such is the case, then it continues with this expression in the instrumental case. Tena Kopana Samayena. So the Kopana, this is just what we call a connective. It shows that the description is continuing. It was, what is the Chinese word that renders this?
Probably.
And then this is instrumental. These two go together. Meaning on that occasion or at that time. Oh. I didn't do the second paragraph at all. Okay. I didn't do the Sayatapi. Okay. Okay, so Sayatapi Bogotamo. Sayatapi is used to introduce a simile. It has a sense of just as if. And then Bo Gotama is just vocative. Sir Master Gotama. Just as if Master Gotama. Saradang Badra Pandum Parisudang Hoti Pariyodata. Okay, Badra is a fruit called the jujube fruit. I don't really know what this fruit is like. Okay, and pandu is the color, It's like a yellowish orange color. And Sarada is relating to the autumn time. This must be a fruit that ripens in the autumn.
Is that an adjective?
Yeah, it's an adjective. I see, in the glossary, it's also given the meaning fresh. Though I'm not... I'm not sure that that's the real meaning or whether they're just deriving that. Okay, so just as this yellow buddhara fruit in the autumn is clean and is pure and clean, and remember what I said last week, when you have adjectives, a list of adjectives in Pali, the first adjective will come before the hoti, or sometimes before the noun that it's describing. And then the other adjectives will come after the hoti, or after the noun that it's describing. So here we have parisudang before hoti, and pariyodatang afterwards. But to render into English, we have to say, put the two adjectives together and say, the fruit is pure and clean.
Then how about saradang?
Yeah, actually, saradang is another adjective. That's preceding the noun.
Okay. They're also saying the three all together, three adjectives.
Well, you see, saradang, let me see how to put this. You see, the point is to compare this fruit with the Buddha's facial complexion. Okay, and the Buddha's facial complexion is described as parisuddho, pure, and pariyodatta, clean. So those two words have to follow the fruit, the name of the fruit. But sarada is describing the fruit itself. It's not comparing, that adjective doesn't enter into the comparison with the Buddha's facial expression. But that's a description of the fruit, quite apart from whether it corresponds to the Buddha's face. But now it wants us, the speaker wants to say that the fruit at that, in that, of that particular type, the sarada fruit, the autumnal fruit or fresh fruit, is pure and clean, just as the Buddha's facial complexion is pure and clean. So pure and clean will come after the fruit, the mention of the fruit. So, literally, just as if Sir Gotama, autumnal yellow jujube fruit, pure is clean. In the same way, Master Gotama's faculties, his sense faculties, indriyas, are clear. Vipassanani, and his facial complexion, the complexion of the skin, chavivano, is parisuddho pariyodatto, is pure and clean. Okay, that's one simile.
Where's pure? We have pariyodato is clean.
Yeah, parisuddho.
Parisuddho, I thought that... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That describes. Okay. And then vipassana.
Vipassanani.
Describes indriya.
The indriyas. You see, because vipassanani is neuter plural ending, ani. So it goes with indriyani,
right.
Also neuter plural. But chavivano is masculine singular. And so parisuto and pariyodato, also masculine singular. So they're all in agreement. Little dots after.
Yeah, they're cute.
Yeah, that's the end of the sentence. Yeah, with sayatapi. So it's a complete sentence. But just I see where the book after the comparison with the fruit, sayatapi, bhogotamo saradang vajrapandum parisudang hoti pariyodatang. There I would not put the full stop the way the book does, but I would put a comma there. After pariyodatang and before avameva.
I think it is comma.
It is comma.
Oh, in my book it looks like a full stop.
Yeah, like a full stop.
Mine, but
the lowercase. I see. So, in your book, after pariyodatang, it's a comma.
Yeah, it's a comma.
Oh, in mine it looks like a full stop. Mm. It might be just a printing.
The initial sayatapi, the S means the capital, right? That's why I thought.
Yeah. Actually, I see many of the commas here. The little tail is so light that it looks like a full stop.
Suppose it is a period, then the next sentence doesn't need a hoti or not. It doesn't have to have hoti.
It just wouldn't make sense to have it as a separate sentence starting with avameva. Because avameva implies continuing a comparison. But actually you could, what would be correct, correct Pali, you could say avameva boto gotamasa. Oh, I see why it wouldn't use homti or hoti. Because there are two subjects in that clause. There's indriyani, which is plural, and chavivano, which is singular. So if you wanted to put in the verb, you wouldn't know whether to put it plural or singular.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a whole singular.
No, it doesn't have the verb here.
It doesn't have hoti.
It doesn't have either hoti or homti.
You're talking about second part, starting from
Ava Meva. Right.
Okay.
You see, you don't need the hoti or homti because the past participle itself is self-sufficient. But if, just for argument's sake, if there was, instead of mentioning indriyani, if that was cut out and he was just speaking about chavivano, then you could say avameva boto gotamasa parisuto chavivano hoti pariyodato.
Can you put hoti between the first one and hoti between the second part? The both.
I think one would be able to say that. I don't know that the Pali would actually use that, but it wouldn't be wrong to say avameva boto gotamasa vipassanani indriyani honti parisuto hoti parisuto chavivano hoti pariodato. I think that would be acceptable. Okay, should we go on to the next sentence? Okay. Now the speaker makes a second comparison. Okay, sayatapi bo gotama tala pakang sampati bandana pamutang parisudang hoti pariodata. Okay, sayatapi, just as if Sir Gotama, talapakang. Talapakang is the fruit of a palmyra tree. Something like a coconut. Palm fruit, yeah. And then sampati is it's like an adverb. It's not declinable. That means newly, recently. Just now, because Gio, that sounds Gio.
Gang.
Okay, so just as a palm fruit, just bandana pamutang. Pamutang, it's like, I mean, it's literally, it's liberated, freed, but we say release. From bandana. Bandana is the stalk, S-T-A-L-K, or stem, because they stem. And bandana is which case?
Your favorite.
Ablative. I thought ablative was your favorite. Okay, so it's freed from the stalk. You say it needs an ablative meaning. So freed from the stalk, it is parisudan hoti pariodata. It's pure and clean. In the same way, the faculties of Master Gotama are clear, and his facial complexion is pure and clean, or pure and bright, you'd say.
I have a question. Sayata.
Yeah.
Is that an indeclinable word?
It's indeclinable. Comes from
see, this goes back to a very old type of Bhagavad Gita. Tongue, the top, that, like, also, just like that, or.
So that's actually.
But then the tongue, for some reason, it gets. Actually, its tongue is a more modern form. But the older form would have been say, and then the Y gets doubled.
We say yatapi. So just as if. That's the way the best way to render it. Just as if. As a any questions on this passage?
Just as where does the food come from? Did you just say a tapping?
Yeah.
Rendered just as is.
Yeah.
Where does the if come from?
Well, the if is just an English word. It doesn't have a counterpart in the Pali. But that's just the best way to render this expression.
So just as is not enough.
In English, it wouldn't be sufficient. Oh, actually, let me see. Actually, what you could even, yeah, I think you don't even need the if. Let's say, just as, yeah, you could say, just as a palm fruit recently or newly free from the stem is pure and clean, so too. It depends on how one chooses to render that. So you don't really need the if. You could use a wording which will make it unnecessary.
With the
chest,
is it just as or
as
if?
Yeah.
Is the same expression used when you have the phrase just as if Master Gautama had overturned?
Exactly, Right. Actually, probably you would use the if when you have what's called the optative, when it's followed by an optative verb.
May I ask a question from the first paragraph?
Yeah.
We have the find out where it is in the third line says a pay the chain bhagavata.
Yeah. Sadding some other things.
Okay, sorry, it's actually the next one. The apegacha nama dotan.
Yeah.
Dabetan ekamantan.
Yeah.
My question is about the word nama dotan.
Yeah.
That seems to me a singular form.
Yeah.
But if you're giving their names and their names, and if we actually had plural for apegacha.
Yeah.
Why would we have singular names? They're giving their names. Why wouldn't it be plural?
Okay, some having declared their name and clan, each group, each one declares his or her own name and clan name. Yeah, so it's singular.
I thought ape kache.
Yeah, it's plural.
Plural.
Yeah.
So there should be a plural name.
No, it could just come because each one announces a single personal name and single clan name.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go on to the second paragraph. Okay, so I've already explained Tena Kopana Samayena. Okay, now Ugata Sari Rasa Brahmanasa Mahayanyo Upakato Hoti. Okay, now Ugata Sari Rasa Brahmanasa, what case is this? Chilausha?
Which one?
Oh, I'm in paragraph, passage 2.
Right?
After Tena Kopana Samayena. Yeah. Brahmanas.
Genitive?
Yeah. This is actually
the name of the Brahman?
Yeah. Ugata Sari Rasa. It seems to be a descriptive name. It's presented as though it's the name of the Brahman, but it means one with tall body. Ugata means raised, gone up. So one with a tall body. But it seems to be treated as his name. This is not unusual in the text. And this is an important point in Pali syntax. Instead of saying that somebody does something, one says that something has been done for someone. So in this case, instead of saying that this Ugata Sari, this tall-bodied Brahman, had set up a great, or prepared a great sacrifice. It says, for the tall-bodied Brahmin, a great sacrifice had been set up. Maybe because he didn't do the work himself, but he would have had servants, workers to do it. So he would be the one who gives the commands, and other people would do the dirty work for him.
So that's genitive instead of dative?
They call us, you see, the genitive and dative come very close together in many usages. So they would just call us, but it seems to me to be genitive, but it's not in the sense of possessive, but just showing that the actual subject is somewhat in a passive condition. So for, literally, the of the Brahmin Ugata Sarira, a great sacrifice had been set up or prepared. Okay. Pancha Usapa Satani Tun Upanitani Honti Yanyataya. Now you see the expression Pancha Usapa Satani. Do you know what number this is? Right. 500 what?
Bulls.
Yeah. Now you see, this is peculiar in Pali, way of Pali Sanskrit way of representing numbers. If you have a large number like 500, the five will precede the noun. You have 500 of something. The five comes in front of the noun, and the hundred, or if it's thousands, the thousand would come as a suffix to the noun. It's attached to the end of the noun. So to represent 500 bulls, Pancha Usapa Satani. So to get the number, you have to join the Pancha to the Satani. And now it describes what's been done to these 500 bulls. Tuna is the sacrificial post, the post to which the animals are tied. And upanitani means led towards, brought towards. Well, they've been brought to the post.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of upaneti then? Bring?
Yeah, to lead towards.
Lead?
Yeah, yeah.
You mean brought to the post?
Yeah.
Can you draw a picture?
I don't think I've ever seen a ritual Brahminic sacrifice. But I would guess.
My guess is that there would be a big pillar like this, and then the animals. There must be many, actually, to get 500 of many different types of animals.
Very close so they can't move their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So easier to be sacrificed, and so there's no danger for the person who does the sacrifice.
Yeah, probably
so. I heard the description in Nepal that they do a sacrifice. There's one festival, Hindu festival.
For yeah. So probably there would be like a whole court with many posts for sacrifices. And also the 500, it's used often just as a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you have 500 bulls, which have been led to the post Yanyataya. This is an example that was pointed out in the grammatical explanation. In Pali, the word atta, which means purpose, it's used as a suffix after the main noun to mean for the sake of. That's put in the dative attaya. So for the purpose of, for the sake of, sacrifice. And the same 500 Pachatara. Pachatara, what?
A bullock.
Bullock. What is a bullock?
Like a
cash
bay or
right?
I don't know what to say.
I don't know if it's a cat or a dog or anything. So it would be an awesome. But it says the glossary gives a weaned calf. Weaned, I think Fatsatsura means a calf actually.
A grown. Why is it Vachatara Vatani, right?
Yeah.
And one of the back is that it's a little bit different. V-A-C-C-H-A-T-T-A. And why is V-A-C-C-H-A-T-A? And this word is wing the cow. And the I say Bola is the one, T-T-A.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Oh, I think that's a spelling mistake.
Yeah.
No, it's a typographical mistake.
You mean the same word?
It's the same word. You just take one T out. It's a printing mistake.
So the first T is the D for that.
One of those T's. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Vachatara would be, I would say it's a male calf, and Vachatari is a female calf. And then Pancha Aja Satani. The Aja, that is a goat. And Pancha Uraba Satani. Uraba is sheep, ram. Yeah, ram, sheep. Okay, so all of these animals have been set up, brought to the post for the sacrifice. Attako ugata sariro brahmano yena bhagavaten upasankami. Attako means then. The Brahman ugata sarira approached the Blessed One. Having approached, bhagavata sadding samodhi. We've had that before. He exchanged greetings with the Blessed One. And ekamantang nisidhi, he sat down to one side. Okay, those expressions we've had already. Ekamantang nisino ko ugata sariro brahmano bhagavantang etadavocha. Okay, ekamantang nisino, sitting at one side. And notice, in English when we say sitting at one side, we use the locative, at one side. But in Pali, which case is used? What is that case, ekamantang? It's accusative. Okay, so sitting at one side, the tall body Brahman said to the Blessed One, and notice also, he said this, etad avocha. Etad, when you have etad avocha, this is the result of sandhi, of joining. So we have to separate into two words. it actually becomes a tongue. But because this is a very common expression, to make it, to be able to speak it quickly, the ung gets changed to a d, and the two words get joined. A tadavocha. It's easier to say than a tongavocha. The m, that m, that ung gets changed to a d. For the sake of the Sunday conjunction.
Okay, so it's accusative. It's masculine, it was a tongue. Otherwise, if it's neuter, it wouldn't be a tongue directly. All right, but this is masculine for you, right?
I think a tongue is also, it's neuter. It's actually neuter.
But he said, this is neuter, yeah. Like actually, so if it's neuter, then we have the alternative form, atad.
Yeah, I think atad is used as neuter because when you have this conjunction, then the tongue changes to the...
Okay, as a result of this.
Yeah. I don't think you ever see the D in some other... without being followed by a vowel,
okay.
A short vowel. And note that the object of speech, in English we say he said to the Blessed One, as though it were dative. But in Pali, the object is accusative.
Addressed.
But actually there's a different word rendered, does it address as amantesi. Amantesi. So it's simplest to translate he said, and just bear in mind that they use the accusative rather than the dative. Okay, so the Brahman says, Sutang metang bo Gotama agisa adanang yupasa usapanang mahapalang hoti mahani sang sang ti. Okay, sutang metang. Sutang means heard. And metang, what is metang? Right, so what does me mean?
Me means I think it's the I, right?
Well, close. What case is it?
It's pronoun. It's
personal pronoun, but what case?
It
represents a case. When you?
It's
say aloud.
Instrumental.
It's instrumental. It means by me.
Okay.
So, heard by me this, or in other words, I have heard this, Sir Gotama. Then the next expressions, I just have to guess the meaning. Agisa adanang, if we take it literally, it's putting up or placing of the fire. And upasa usapanang is the erection or putting up of the sacrificial post, the upa, is of great fruit and great benefit. In other words, the sense seems to be that holding a sacrifice is of great fruit and great benefit.
Okay.
then the Buddha says, Mayapi ko etang brahmana sutang agisa agisa adanang yupasa usapanang mahapalang hoti mahani sangsanti. So the Buddha says, okay, Maya P. What is the case here, Maya? Bowen? The case? Maya? Excuse me? It's instrumental, yeah. So, by me also. But you see, the Maya, this is the normal instrumental form. The May is a contracted form. And the May, it's used only inside a sentence. That's called enclitic.
Looks like you have may tay for you, may tay plural no, which means us, and vo, that's plural you.
Very close to French.
Seems so, yeah. No, not in that word.
No,
no.
We is new and you is French, or vous. Vous, you, and vous. So.
Yeah.
Very close to French.
Okay, so, but the Maya, that is the normal instrumental form. So the Buddha is saying, by me too, this has been heard. Then he repeats the same thing. Then the Brahmin repeats his statement a second time, a third time, and the Buddha also repeats his statement a second time and a third time. So he says, I too, O Brahmin, have heard that the bringing up of the fire, the setting up of the sacrificial post is of great fruit and great benefit. So now the Brahmin is very happy and he sort of misunderstands. The Buddha has just said that he's heard this, not that he agrees with it. But the Brahmin jumps to the conclusion that the Buddha is agreeing with him. So the Brahmin says, Tai idang bo Gotama sameti boto cheva Gotamasa amhakancha yadidang sabena sabbang. You tried to look it up in a glossary?
Yeah. The book, okay, Amhakam.
Amhakam.
Yeah, that
yeah, you would have had it. It is the genitive form of Mayang, meaning us.
Mayang,
how to spell it? M-A-Y-A-M. Let us see. I'm sure you can under ahang, if you look up the declension of ahang. Yeah. Sixty-seven. Yeah, you just look on page 67 in the table. At your leisure, you look at it. Okay, But let's go back to the text. Okay, Tai Dung. Does Tai Dung Okay, the glossary explains it's tongue plus idung. But again, to make it, to be able to speak it quickly, the ung gets dropped and then the y gets inserted to join the two words, tai idung. And it just simply means that this. Yeah, in English we would say simply that. Yeah, it's a little complex, the sentence. I'll translate it literally. That this Master Gotama agrees of Master Gotama's and of us. That is, with all. Okay. From the beginning.
Yeah.
That this Master Gotama agrees of Master Gotama's and of us, Yeti Dung, that is Sabena, with all, Sabang, all. And now to put the same sentence in normal English, I would say, there is complete agreement between Master Gotama's then in brackets position and ours or mine and mine.
Mine or ours?
Well, literally it's ours, but you see ours is a polite form in which a person will speak to another respected person.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like using the nin instead of the ni.
Actually, not exactly the same. Instead of say
wo,
we say
wo. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You use woman instead of wo. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay, so it seems to me the Tai Dung means the statement or position that the position of Master Gotama and of myself agree with each other or are in agreement. And then Yeti Dung means that is. And then Sabena Sabang with all. Seems to be an idiom which means entirely or completely. It's a little bit odd, the grammar of that sentence. Do you understand it, though, the sense? Okay, evang vute. Do you know what case that is? Say again loudly. Ah, very good. Remember I explained it last week. This is a very short locative absolute. When such was said, okay, then Ayasma Anando Ugata Sarirang Brahmanang Etaravocha. When that was said, the Venerable Ananda said this to the Brahman with the tall body. It's So Ananda says, Nako Brahmana Tathagata Evang Puchitabha. Then he repeats the statement, Sutang Maitang Bhogotama. So he says, the Tathagatas, O Brahman, should not be questioned thus. Then he repeats the statement.
So, not to Brahman and Tathagata.
The Brahman is vocative, so O Brahman, let's put it this way. O Brahman, the Tathagatas should not be questioned thus. Then he repeats the statement.
Oh, so that one A is plural, not applicative.
Tathagata, that's definitely is plural, yeah. So Tathagata should not be questioned thus. And the statement, actually, it's not a question. It's really just a statement. But there seems to be maybe an implied question, like, what do you think about that? What do you think of this? Okay, so Ananda continues, Evam ko brahmana tathagata puchitabha. So here there's a real question or request. O Brahman, the Tathagatas should be questioned thus, in this way. Then Ananda gives a different statement, the way the Brahman should have spoken to the Buddha. Ahang hi bante aging adatu kamo yupang usapitu kamo. Here the second word, he, that just gives, it's what I call the spice word, it just gives a little emphasis to the statement. Bante, venerable sir, I am desiring to, what is it, to set up the fire, to put up a fire. I am desiring to set up the sacrifice, the sacrificial post. And with these two words, udatu kamo, usapetu kamo, these are examples of this grammatical point discussed in the book on page 116. The word kama means desire, and when attaches it to the infinitive of a verb, when drops the ung, when attaches it to the infinitive, then you has the meaning desiring to do such and such, to do the action designated by the verb. Okay, so venerable sir, I am desiring, in other words, I am desiring to make a sacrifice. O vadatu mang bante bhagava, anusasatu mang bante bhagava. O vadatu, this is third person, singular, what type of verb? Good. Third person, singular imperative. Let one do something. Let the Blessed One advise me. Anusasatu man. Let the Blessed One instruct me. Yang mama asa digaratang hitaya sukaya. So let the Blessed One advise me, let him instruct me. Yang, which mama, mine, or for me, asa, asa is what? Say? Say again? Right, good, good. It's the optative of is. And you got it, Wenjun also got it right. Should, or might be, or would be. Digaratang means literally long night. But it has a special meaning. That is a special meaning, or a typical meaning is for a long time. For a long time, hitaya, for welfare, and sukaya, for happiness. In what case is that? Hitaya, sukaya? Suki? Excuse me? No, you're missing too many classes.
Yeah,
you have to be able to tell me the case with the snap of a finger.
Is it aptitude?
No. No. Chilaoshi. Right, it's data. Okay, so the sense is, let the Blessed One advise me, let him instruct me, which would be, that is the asa, young asa. Then you have to take mama and join with hitaya sukaya, which would be for my welfare and happiness, digaratam, for a long time. So let him advise me, let him instruct me in a way which would be for my welfare and happiness for a long time, or which would be for my long-term welfare and happiness. Okay, then in the next sentence, the Brahmin simply then addresses that request to the Buddha. It just repeats the same request. I think that's... Okay, that's the end of the passage. It's not the end of the sutta, of course. I think then the Buddha will give some instruction to the Brahmin on how to prepare, how to set up what he considers a proper sacrifice, which is not killing animals, but maybe offering charity. Okay, any questions about this passage?
Question mark here, but I still understand my own question. The second sentence, the last, Ova Datuman Bhavan Gopang.
Yeah.
Gotamo.
Go,
why do we have Bhavan?
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Why do we have Bhavan there?
Yeah, why is AM?
Okay, that's good. But if you look in the grammatical grammar section,
Page 85?
No, page 115. This lesson. The section 5.
The nominative.
Yeah, that's the nominative for this word bhavant is the same as bo gotama. That's the vocative. Bo, was it bo to gotama? Bo to gotamasa. That's genitive.
So this is just here, it says venerable Gotama instruct
yeah.
me.
Yeah, let.
Let
the venerable or master Gotama instruct me. Let him, let him advise me. Let him instruct me. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, there's a little difference between Venerable Ananda's statement and the Brahmins. Venerable Ananda, being a Buddhist, he uses the expression bhante. Oh, when he formulates the question, O vadatu mang bhante bhagava, Ananda uses bhagava, the blessed one, but the Brahmin is not yet a believer in the Buddha, so he won't use bhagava, which is very respectful. So he uses, the Brahmin uses, instead of bhante, he uses bhogotama. And instead of bhagava, blessed one, he uses Bhavan Gotama. Bhavan Gotamo. Master Gotama, Sir Gotama.
I guess my question was, we had Bhogotama before, and now we switch to Bha.
Yeah, well, Bhogotama is the vocative.
Vocative form, right.
Bhavan Gotamo is nominative. Okay, let us go to the next page. We have some verses from Dhammapada. Here with verses, sometimes one has to unravel the word order a little bit. Okay. Duni gahasa lahuno yata kama nipatino. Chitasa dhammato sadhu chitang dantang sukhavaham. Okay, in the first line, all of those words are in the same case. What case is that? Wenjin? It's actually the genitive. So it's obvious in the case of du nigahasa. That's the genitive ending for a noun. But lahuno, that's an adjective ending in you. So it takes, it's like a noun ending in you. So it takes a genitive and lahu no. And yata kama nipatino. Let's see, I'm sure we have these nouns ending in I-N a few lessons back. Yeah, page 84. Like the noun machari or macharim. You see it takes the genitive dative ending macharino. And so here nipatin. Takes the ending the O, so it becomes nipatino. Nipatino means falling down. And then yata means where, and kama, desires. desire. And all of these are describing, what is this noun that they're describing? What is the noun? Suki? Right, it's citta. So the mind is du-nigahasa. Here, nigaha means to restrain, to hold down. And D-U-R is a prefix which means difficult. Then that the final R gets changed to the consonant that comes after. So in this case, it's an N. So it's difficult to hold down or to restrain. Then lahu, the adjective lahu, normally it means light, like a feather or dust. But if something is light, it gets blown around here and there very easily. So the mind is something which is light, it gets blown here and there, it moves very quickly. And yata kama nipatino, which means that it falls wherever it wants. It goes wherever it wants. And of this mind, dhammato sadhu. Dhammata means, normally it's used in relation to animals. When you have a wild horse or a wild elephant, you have to, what does one do with it? Tames it, right. So the taming of the mind, sadhu, is good. The word sadhu means good.
I remember the sadhu retreat in the monks of Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant.
Okay, so the taming of the mind is good. And then the next line gives the reason. Chitang dantang sukhava. Now the word dantang, you see, okay, the noun dhammata, or dhammata is a noun. It comes from the verb, I think it's dhammati.
But it might come more often in the course of this one. Dhammati.
To tame. So we get the past participle dantang, which means tamed. So chitang dantang, a mind that is tamed, sukhavahang. Sukha is what? You know, sukha means. Okay. Then after sukha, we put this ending. Avaha, avaha, which means bringing or leading to, you could say. Bringing is better.
And bringing and causing.
Yeah. Okay, so a tamed mind brings happiness. What is the time now?
10:05.
Is there chanting at 4:30?
On Saturday we have very short. Okay, I'll just do the next verse and we'll stop. Okay, su du dasam sunni punang yata kama nipatinang citang raketa medabi citang gutang sukavahang. Okay, again, the first two lines are describing the mind. This time, see, dasang means, it's related to seeing. Like dasana, we have the adjective, or the noun dasana, sight, seeing. So dasa means to see. And then du dasa, oh, I erased that, yeah. It's that same prefix, dur.
Sorry.
Yeah. So that means hard to see.
So du-dasa, hard to see. And when we put a su in front of it, what is the meaning that it gives? Chi Lausha? What happened? She was just stay there.
She mumbled something as she went
out.
Okay, sorry, but okay, the so means
she's back.
I think it's too much of that.
Okay, so the su makes it very, it means very much. So the mind is very hard to see.
Isn't su normally means good?
Well, yeah, often it means good, but sometimes it has the sense of very, even if it's... Okay, so the mind is very hard to see. Because the thoughts go so quickly that we're not aware of them. Then su nipunam. Here nipuna means subtle. And su again means very. So it's very subtle. Again, yata kama nipatinam. We already had the meaning of this. But this is what case now? It's not accused. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, it is accusative, right. It's accusative. Falling wherever it wants. Then, chitang raketa medavi. Medavi means a wise person, intelligent person. And raketa is what case is what case is this? Not, it's not a case, I'm sorry.
Imperative.
I think it's an a middle voice optative. The middle voice. So the middle voice optative endings come only in chapter 11. Yeah, it comes in chapter 11. But yeah, anyway, it's what's called a middle voice optative. It's the middle voice as forms used mostly in verse, very seldom in prose.
Is that page
53? Is it on page 53? Oh, yeah.
So which is it? Is it middle voice or is it third person singular?
No, it's middle voice. It's third person singular, middle voice. But they have put them on page 53, too.
Those are middle?
Those are middle voice. You see in the line after the box, the endings in parentheses are sometimes referred to as the middle ones, on the basis of their Sanskrit origin. However, this distinction is largely lost in Pali.
Well, you know, that means middle voice. Okay.
Yeah. In Pali, the middle voice is used mainly in poetry. It's somewhat like in English poetry. Even early 20th century writers would use words like what? Thou, or more elevated language.
And Pali is not elevated enough by itself.
Well, certain words have special flavor.
It doesn't mean it comes back to us, so this is to protect, so it actually comes back to the subject of the verb.
I don't think that
happens. It doesn't mean that? Okay.
So originally the middle voice was used for reflexive verbs in which there is no object.
Mm.
But here there's an object. The wise person protects the mind. And chittang gutang sukhavaham. The mind that is guarded. Guta means guarded. The mind that is guarded brings happiness. Okay, maybe. If there's any questions.
I want to know why we have the accusative here. Sudadasa.
Yeah.
The only verb I can see is to protect.
Yeah.
Or to guard, right?
Yeah.
So there are the accusative for the optative verbs.
The reason why those words are accusative is because what are they describing?
The mind.
The mind. And what case is citta in?
Accusative.
Citta is accusative. So since they're describing an accusative noun, they're also accusative. Any further questions? Okay, I want to go through the glossary on page 119-20. Sometimes we have to correct the renderings given by
119-20.
Yeah, first I see a spelling mistake. The very first word, the H should come after the D. It should be A-K-K-O-D-H-A-N-O, a codono. Then this oop, a little bit down, upapajati, upajati. Actually, upapajati usually means to be reborn. And upajati means to arise. But the two words tend to get mixed up in printed editions from Pali Text Society, Sri Lankan editions. So sometimes you get upajati, where what's really meant is upapajati. But here they have upapajati, so they have, in the text on page 117, they do have upapajati. The sense is to be reborn. But then I think on page 118, they have upajaya. There it's to arise, but again, the implication to arise by being reborn. So the two words do seem to come together sometimes. And on page 120, Pachaya. Yeah, Pachaya often means condition. But sometimes when you have X Pachaya, it means because of X, by reason of X.
Well, what if it comes with Hetu?
Yeah.
Then it's still because of
X? Hey, let's see.
Second passage.
Usually we have konu, ko bante, hetu, ko pachio would be something like, they're almost synonymous. What, venerable sir, is the cause? That's hetu. What is the condition? Later, like scholastic and Abhidhamma, and then more scholastic Buddhism, distinction is made between hetu and pachia,
okay.
Whereas the hetu is the main cause, pachia is supporting condition. But in older texts, like the suttas, they use just like synonymously. Then Manku Buddha, I think discontented is not so good. It's more like embarrassed, often embarrassed or humiliated, ashamed. Yeah, Visarado, this wise is not good. The sense is somewhat like self-confident. I see. The contrast is made between. Visarado and Amanku Bhutto. So Manku Bhutto is like when somebody is speaking in an assembly, and they don't have self confidence. Then they are somewhat embarrassed, hesitant. What would be a synonym for it? Not quite shy. Well, that's sort of an extreme. More like I am now like stumbling, confused. A little bit like that, yeah, also.
Timid.
It's not really timidity. But it's more like the person is lacking self-confidence and so they stumble over their words. And they become embarrassed. It's not so specific, is it? It's more the mental attitude than the physical expression of it. Yeah, then sukkati, not happiness or bliss, but it's the happy realm. The of good destination. Technically, it means the heavenly realms or good existence in the human realm.
Is Sukhavati Sanskrit?
For this? No, Sukhavati is actually, it has the word Sukha meaning happiness, mm-hmm. And Vati means possessing, so it means possessing happiness.
Oh.
This is Sugati. Su is good, and Gati is destination. So good destination. Okay, that's the... Yeah.
Mahali. After Mahali, there's a word that is a name of a park. Mahavana.
Mahavana, yeah.
Is it the first place?
Yeah, I think it's the name of a specific park. It means the great woods.
大林金色.
Yeah.
It's a capital
end. I would put a capital actually.
Okay.
What's the Chinese name again?
大林.
Da Ling.
Da.
I know Da.
Or Lin. Lin.
For Vana.
Forest.
Forest. Lin.
Double Mu. Lin. Remember Double Mu?
Yeah.
And then we, in Chinese translation, we add Jingse, Vihara.
Jingse.
Yeah, Vihara. But here it translated park.
Yeah. you want to use, I think yuan is more...
Yuan is the translation for part.
For arama, probably.
But this particular place, we translated...
Oh, actually, it's a fixed translation.
Yeah, it's a fixed translation.
Okay. Okay, that's the end.